Welcome to Gila Members Community Radio. Next up, we'll be back to the garden, conversations with Jean Eisenhower and her guests on all things green and growing in and around your house. This is GMCR, a voice and a choice for Southwest New Mexico.
Plant your seeds, see what you can do to grow your needs. Tend your gardens, touch the earth. Thank the stars above for all your worth. Seasons of plenty, seasons of change, also abundantly here.
Hello and welcome to Back to the Garden. I'm your host, Jean Eisenhower, and this is a show for gardeners, beginning gardeners, and all those who think it might be a good idea to have a garden. Today we'll be talking with Monica Rood, the founder and owner of Desert Woman Botanicals. She studied medicinal herbs with well-known Southwest herbalist Michael Moore and others. She started gardening as a child in her parents' garden in the snowy Northeast and has been a desert gardener for the past 25 years. She lives in the Gila, where she grows dozens of herbs for the product line and for teaching students and apprentices. Monica, do you have a website too?
I do.
You do? What is that?
Desertwoman.net.
Desertwoman.net. All right. Thank you, Monica, for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Why should people grow herbs?
I believe that they're better than anything that you can buy. You could get them from your neighbor. That would be good. But It's like a fresh tomato. The best fresh tomato you can get is when you grew yourself and you just went out and picked it and now you're eating it.
Right. And a lot of these herbs are really common and they're easy to grow.
A lot of them are, yes. Yeah. Also, when you grow your own, it helps you to have a connection with them. Going out and harvesting herbs and making them into tea and then sitting and savoring that cup of tea is totally a different experience than going to the store and buying tea bags and just boiling water.
Right, yeah.
It's a very cool experience.
I think I understand that. So if somebody, and actually I do understand that because I'm growing some herbs in my garden and it's wonderful. If somebody wanted to begin growing herbs today, how would they get started?
Yeah. Well, there are a lot of things to consider. One is, has the person ever gardened before?
Mm-hmm.
So basic gardening, you need to learn basic gardening.
Okay.
And you can learn that while you're learning about herbs, but if you already know something about gardening, that's an advantage.
Okay, let's pretend that you know enough to...
So if you've grown a little vegetable garden before, then you're ready to take on herbs.
Mm-hmm.
And I suggest people start with just a few, like six or eight of culinary and or medicinal herbs that they either know about or they're interested in, or maybe they're already cooking with or already using.
Right, and or maybe that they heard were easy.
Yes, right.
Okay, which ones might be common to start with?
Well, basil is a really easy one to start with, and a lot of people put it in their food, so that would be a good one. Parsley, echinacea is a good one if you want to do medicinal herbs.
And you get to enjoy it as a flower for quite a while before you harvest. Right.
Well, many herbs are multi-purpose.
Mm-hmm.
They're not just culinary, but they're also medicinal, ornamental. You can use them fresh or dried. If you grow catnip, you can use it to get the cat excited. So there are a lot of... applications for herbs.
Yeah.
And a lot of them are very easy to grow because they don't get diseases, they don't get insects. Some of them are very drought tolerant.
Mm-hmm.
So when one starts out with this handful of herbs, the first thing to learn is what the requirements are. Like, do they like full sun, or do they like some shade, or a full shade, and a little bit of water, or a lot of water.
So they shouldn't believe me that it's just easy. And, you know, do your basic homework, find out what they need. Okay.
Well, a lot of things are easy after you know how to do it. Right.
I think I found them easy because a lot of them are drought tolerant. And so for somebody like me who might get lazy and not water when I should, you know, the herbs survive better than some vegetables. Maybe not your basil, but I know that my sage and my echinacea have done just very well.
Right. And in the beginning, they're not totally drought tolerant.
Okay.
You have to water them, and to get them established. Okay. And there's quite a bit of variation from one to another in mm-hmm. how much they need. Like sage, just regular garden sage, I would say is the herb that needs the least water of any.
Mm-hmm.
So once it's established, after a few weeks or a couple of months, it might not need watering more than a couple times a month. It just depends on the soil, too.
Right.
Like if people have sandy soil, it will need watering more often because mm-hmm. sand doesn't retain water as well as a clay or a heavier soil.
Right. I have very rocky, sandy soil. And I happen to have a sage come up right near a swale. And when you told me the other day that it is very drought tolerant and doesn't like a lot of water, I worried a bit. Is it going to survive a swale deluge during the monsoon?
Maybe, but if it, well, in July it rained every day.
Right,
so.
And they seem to have done well. I actually had a couple of them come up, so they seem pretty flexible.
Well, if there's good drainage, you can mm-hmm. get away with watering more.
Okay.
The best test is the finger test. Mm-hmm. This is why we were born with fingers.
Okay.
To put them in the dirt and see if it feels wet.
Uh-huh.
And if it still feels moist from the last watering, whether it's in a container or in the ground, then you don't need to water.
Okay.
A lot of people have trouble with that basic idea. Stick your finger
in
the
dirt.
Because there are so many variations.
Right.
You can't just water things every day mm-hmm. or every third day.
Right. But we can amend our soils, too. So we're not... if we have sandy soil, it doesn't have to stay only sandy soil. We can fix it. Should we talk a little bit about that?
Right. Well, it gets back to the basic gardening mm-hmm. idea again. A lot of herbs don't like a really rich soil. So when you amend them, you don't necessarily want to put a lot of nitrogen or a lot of manure in there. And that's especially aromatic herbs.
Mm-hmm.
By adding a lot of nitrogen to aromatic herbs, it actually decreases their aromatics because the plant doesn't feel the need to produce those aromatics.
All right, which is why we have the term herb garden. People separate their herbs from their other vegetables. Is that kind of a rule?
You can do that. No, absolutely not. You can just mix them right in with your vegetables.
But we'll still have our drier spots and our less amended spots within the garden.
Right. So you have to keep all the basic requirements for the herbs in mind mm-hmm. while you're mixing them up with the vegetables. But quite a few herbs can be interplanted with vegetables, and it helps to keep insects away from the vegetables.
Wonderful.
It's a form of companion planting.
Right. So there's another value in growing herbs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
right.
Okay, we're protecting our other plants.
So you don't want to put your garden sage right next to the tomatoes or the basil where you're going to water them frequently.
Okay.
So you need to have a little drier corner where you don't water as often.
Okay.
And sage is one of the Mediterranean herbs. And generally they like terrible soil, meaning really rocky, high minerals, good drainage, and hot,
mm-hmm.
and not very much water. And if we could all take a trip to the Mediterranean and learn how to grow herbs, that would be really fun.
Yeah.
So I think you should look into funding for that.
Okay.
But the Mediterranean ones are much less drought tolerant. I mean, are more drought tolerant.
Mm-hmm.
So they can be in a little corner where they only get watered maybe a couple of times a month.
Okay.
So that includes thyme, rosemary, sage, lavender, hyssop, those kinds.
All right.
And then things like basil, the annuals that you are harvesting regularly, they will need more water.
Okay.
And more frequent amending
mm-hmm.
because the basil is using a lot of nutrients from the soil to pump out all those pesto leaves every day. And so the more often you're harvesting a plant, the more often you have to water it and fertilize it.
Okay. And those real drought-hardy plants, I noticed, they're the woodier ones, it seems.
Yeah, and they're perennial,
mm-hmm.
a lot of them.
Right.
Are perennial.
Okay. I'm learning a lot here.
As opposed to basil, that's an annual. Mm-hmm. You just plant it every year. You have to plant basil.
Well, I know somebody who's had basil for a few years. He keeps it as a house plant.
Well, that's different.
Yeah.
That's not an herb garden.
And it's actually almost getting woody.
Mm-hmm.
It's
I
so
have
big
one of those
strong.
Too.
Yeah.
I overwintered a basil plant in a pot last winter, and it got about 3 feet tall. And
yeah.
It's pretty amazing.
That's kind of exciting. It's nice to have that important herb right there in your kitchen whenever you need it.
Yeah, it's great. And planting in containers is also another option. It doesn't have to be in the ground.
Well, let's talk
about
that.
You could have one parsley plant, one thyme, one rosemary, one of each one. It's just, you have to be careful about watering. Don't underwater. Again, keep the finger working when you're getting ready to water.
And it looks so pretty to have these on your windowsill. It's almost, you know, a classic little picture of the herb pots on the windowsill. But they're never, I don't have success with that cute picture that I try now and then.
No, that doesn't work.
Why?
It only works for the person taking the picture and putting it in the magazine.
I thought so.
Well, quite often you also buy a pot of planted herbs and it has like six things in there. That's not enough space for all those plants
to grow. So people should just avoid those marketing gimmicks entirely.
Yes. If you get something like that, separate them and put them each in their own pot. Or if it's a really big pot, you might be able to have two or three things in there if they're annuals.
And what's wrong with the window? Is it too hot behind the window or what?
It might be too hot or maybe not enough sunlight. They need six or 7 hours. Most of them, the ones that like sun, and especially the Mediterranean ones, need a minimum of 6 to 7 hours of sunlight a day in order to get the best production. But not all plants fit into that category. Things like comfrey really like shade and a lot of water.
Right.
So if you put that out in the sun, you won't have it for long.
Right. And so that one will do really well underneath a fruit tree where you're watering a lot?
No.
Nope.
Not a fruit tree. Because of the roots.
Okay.
See, comfrey is a root. It's the root you're going for on comfrey. And so there might be too much competition from the tree roots.
Okay.
So that's another thing to consider in planning your garden. If it's under trees, a few things do okay under trees, but a lot of times there's too much competition. Elder trees is especially famous for not being very good to grow plants, plants under. Well, you can experiment. There are a few that will do okay, but generally they don't do that well under trees.
Okay, well,
they like the shade, though. So you can use shade cloth or other things, other ways of creating shade. One trick is to plant on the east side of a building or a stone wall of some kind. So they'll have morning sun, and in the afternoon they'll be in the shade.
Right. Okay. Now, I'd heard that comfrey was good underneath fruit trees, so maybe I misunderstood. I don't know if this information's out there wrongly, but I know that maybe you're just supposed to cut off those leaves and use the leaves for the mulch and nitrogen. Is that possible?
Well, you know, maybe fruit trees are not the same as other kinds of trees. I actually haven't grown so much under fruit trees. I don't know. Maybe their roots are not as invasive, but I know my apricot tree is.
Yes, and I know that they're close to the surface, so.
Yeah, those roots are just going to grow right where you. Well, if you also fertilize them extra, maybe there will be enough food for both the herbs and the fruit tree.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm going to want to look into that, and maybe some gardener will give us a call at the station and tell us about that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it just goes to show nobody knows everything about everything.
Yeah, that's true.
Even though we think we're experts.
Right. Okay. Well, let's take a little break here.
Comes the springtime, plant your seeds, see what you can do to grow your needs. Tend your gardens, touch the earth, thank the stars above for all your worth. Seasons of plenty, seasons of change, also abundantly here.
If you just tuned in, we're talking with Monica Rood, owner of Desert Woman Botanicals, who's been a desert gardener for the past 25 years, grows dozens of herbs for her product line and for teaching students and apprentices. And I'm Jean Eisenhower. This is Back to the Garden. Before we get back to our conversation with Monica, we'll take a look at a few calendar events. You might be able to find plant starts at one of the farmers markets nearby. The Membrus Valley Farmers Market is open on Thursdays from 3:30 to 5:30 at the San Lorenzo Senior Center. And the Silver City Farmers Market opens Saturday morning from 8:30 till noon. It's off Bullard Street between 7th and 8th Streets next to the Big Ditch. And the High Desert Organic Gardeners, that's High Dog for short, meets on the last Tuesday of the month, so you still have plenty of time to plan to be there. The new location will be at the Volunteer Center's New Commons Community Room at Corbin and 13th Street. The date, Tuesday, August 27th at 6:30 p.m. And if you know of any other garden clubs meeting soon, please give the station a call, and we'll be sure to add it. Our number here is 597-4891. And there's one more calendar item that I'll have Monica share a bit about, as she's one of the organizers of it. Will you tell us about the Flower Fiesta?
Yes, I'd love to tell you about the Flower Fiesta. Its official name is the Summer Garden Flower Fiesta. That's to make it very clear that it's for garden flowers, not flowers from the store. And the idea of this fiesta is to promote flower gardening and to get more people interested in growing flowers. And it's also a fundraiser for our very own Gila Membrace Community Radio Station.
Yay.
So the idea is for people to pick flowers in their garden and make a beautiful bouquet and donate it to this event, which is going to include a silent auction. So it's going to be August 24th at the Silver City Farmers Market from 9 to noon. And if people want to have their bouquet of flowers included in the silent auction bidding, they need to arrive at the market by 9 o'clock in the morning on that day. If for some reason they can't make that, they can leave them at the radio studio, which is on Bullard Street, right across from the food co-op. They can leave them there the previous afternoon, like between 2 p.m. and 6 p.m. or something like that. So there will be silent auction bidding on each bouquet, and it will include the container, so people should bring their flowers in a container they're prepared to part with. Additionally, people can buy dots. They buy dots and then they stick them on the bouquet that they like the best. And actually, they can vote on several bouquets, or they can really stack the deck and vote for one bouquet several times with several dots. And then at the end, the three bouquets that get the most dots will be considered the people's choice. And those three owners of those bouquets will get fabulous prizes.
Wonderful.
Additionally, there will also be mini gardening classes by several local fabulous gardeners on flowers for pollinators, how to arrange flowers, how to grow lavender, edible flowers, how to make a tussie mussy. Do you know what a tussie mussy is? Blythe Whiteley is teaching that one. A tussie mussy is this little Victorian tiny little bouquet that was used in the old days because it smelled good, and also the symbolism of the flowers and the herbs is an important part of creating this thing. So if you're madly in love with someone, you can create a tussie mussy and send it to them, and depending on the meaning of the flowers, it can express love or forgiveness and things like that.
Oh, how sweet. And I think I remember one more part to this. For those who might have flowers and really want to participate and make their contribution to the radio station, but they just don't get it together for a whole bouquet, they can donate individual flowers, right? Did I hear that? That could be used in the classes and for making bouquets?
Yeah, and also we're going to have kids' activities, so they could be used there.
Okay.
So the classes are only going to be 15 minutes long, starting at 9:30. So people need to be prompt, get to the market, get their veggies, and get their seat.
Great.
And it's all going to move very fast.
Sounds like a really fun activity, a fun day. Yeah. I hope everybody's there, and a really important thing to participate in helping raise money for the radio station.
Right. And one more thing. If you don't have flowers in your garden, you can get them from your neighbor's garden.
That's okay.
Some other place, as long as they are garden flowers.
Garden flowers not shipped from Holland.
Yes.
Okay.
You.
Okay, we can do
and
that.
And if people have more questions, they can call the radio station or they can call me, Monica Rood, at 535-2860.
All right.
And if you forgot everything I already said, there's at the gmcr.org website, there's a page devoted to the Flower Fiesta and all the details.
Get the details there. All right. Wonderful. Well, we've got a little bit of time left in this half hour. What shall we get back to? How about talking about what people could grow right now?
Well, there are a lot of things. If you already have your herbs growing, it's a big harvest time.
Okay.
Right now. For example, right now I'm harvesting regularly. See, herbs often you can pick every few days or every week, depending on what they are. For example, calendula, which is a fabulous herb for healing skin issues. And it's the flower that's used. And so the calendula flowers have to be picked about every 3 days and usually dried.
And then in 3 days there's more.
That's right.
Okay.
And if you don't do it every 3 days, a lot of the flowers start forming seeds. So you'll be getting calendula seeds, not the flowers.
And you don't want those?
Well, the flowers are more medicinal, more healing, and have more of the proper properties that you want.
And so if you wait till it has seeds, then you're just going to get a little bit less of the
right.
Medicine.
It won't be as strong a medicine.
Okay.
And calendula flowers are often dried and then made into what we call an infused oil, which basically means you just soak the flowers in olive oil or almond, and then after a few weeks, drain it off, and the oil that's left is considered an herbal infused oil and can be used as a massage oil just as it is, or on the skin and for lots of nice things you use oil for, or it can be made into a salve by adding beeswax.
Wonderful.
So that's the basic idea.
Mm-hmm.
But the calendula flowers have to be religiously picked every 3 days or so. Otherwise, you won't get very good production and very good flowers.
Okay.
So that's kind of a labor-intensive one as far as harvesting that one. Lemon balm is another one. It's a perennial, which means it comes back each year. You don't have to plant it every year like you do basil. And that lemon balm you can pick 3 or 4 times during the growing season by just cutting off the leaves and drying them. And they make wonderful tea, or you can make an infused oil from that as well. But it's really great in food, especially tea and lemonade and cookies and things like that.
Ooh, beautiful. So,
yeah.
So, what else are you harvesting now?
Bee balm. Echinacea flowers. Also, these all attract pollinators. So sometimes when I'm harvesting, I leave a few, especially if the butterflies and the bees are all over them. I feel like I'm stealing their dinner.
Sure.
So if you don't get to pick them, then they just go to the pollinators, and then they go to seed. So you never lose.
Right.
Really.
And you mentioned echinacea. And I said earlier in the show about them being flowers until you harvested. Am I right in remembering that you harvest them right after they've sort of wilted and died? Is that the right time to harvest echinacea?
Well, there's different parts of echinacea that we use.
Okay.
The flowers, the seeds, and the roots.
Okay.
So during the summer and at this time, we harvest the flowers, and then they can, again, be made into an oil or dried. And I like to put it in a cold and flu tea in the winter when people are getting sick.
So you would just dry that and then crush it up? Or crush it up when you want to use it?
Yeah, you just crush it up right at the last minute before you use it. Actually, the echinacea flowers are often really large, and sometimes one flower is too big for one cup of tea.
So
just cut it in half.
And I cut mine in quarters before drying them. That helped them dry faster.
Yeah, that works. That's a great idea.
Okay.
And then just experiment with how strong you want it to be, because echinacea can have kind of a numbing sensation when you drink the tea. So you don't want to have it too strong. You want it to still be tasty. And you can mix it with other herbs that are good for the cold and flu season as well.
Now, if you harvest the root, have you lost the plant for next year?
You have.
You have.
But that's okay. Usually echinacea purpurea, that's also called purple coneflower, that has a real pretty flowers that the butterflies really attract to. the root is the strongest part of the plant, and that is usually harvested in the fall after the frost has killed the top part of the plant.
Mm-hmm.
So late October, November, December, even January, February, before the plant starts growing again, would be a good time to harvest the root. And then that can be used fresh in a tincture, or dried and also made into a tincture or a tea.
Okay, and then if you wanted to have it for next year, you might let one flower go to seed to replant?
Yes, and they will reseed themselves. If you leave some flowers with seeds, they will just... the birds like to eat the seeds also, and they'll kind of spread them around, and you'll have echinacea plants coming up all over the place.
All over the place. Okay, well, that sounds good.
Also, the echinacea purpurea, usually you have to grow the plants for at least 2 years before the root is big enough to make it worthwhile to harvest.
Perfect. Mine are 2 years old. So this fall, that's what I'll do.
And you don't have to harvest all of them.
Right.
You could leave a few, and they'll just be bigger next year.
Uh-huh. Okay. And any last words?
Start. That's the main thing. Just get a couple things and try it.
Uh-huh.
And talk to your neighbors and your friends. It's really fun to talk to other people about how to grow stuff.
I'm having a lot of fun. All right. Let me see. So this is Monica Rude we've been talking with of Desert Woman Botanicals. Her website is desertwoman.net. All right. Thanks very much. Well, folks, our time is about up. We hope you've learned a few bits of information that'll be useful in your gardens. Thank you for sharing with us, Monica. Thanks to Kyle Johnson for handling the production. And thank you, gardeners everywhere, for keeping these essential skills alive for all of us. Please tune in next week for another interview with a local gardener sharing his or her expertise.
This is Gila Members Community Radio. Thanks for tuning in. You've been listening to Back to the Garden with Gina Eisenhower.
It might be native species, proper pruning, water harvesting we're talking about next week. We'll bring it to you. Until next week, I'm wishing you peaceful, healing moments in your garden. I'm Gina Eisenhower, thanking you for listening to Back to the Garden.
You can do to grow your needs. Tend your gardens. Touch the earth. Thank the stars above for all your work. Seasons of plenty, seasons of change, also abundantly here.